The FBI and the SEC want to know if Chrysler has been inflating its sales figures. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Fiat Chrysler, which also does Jeep and Ram, is under scrutiny from the U.S. Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission. This stems from a lawsuit filed earlier this year alleging the company bribed dealers to falsely boost sales numbers. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is on the story here. Lewis, Fiat Chrysler, based in Italy, but the largest market is the U.S. We keep reporting all the Jeeps and pickups they say they sell.
Right. The company's apparently been doing great. They posted record sales in December and had 75 straight months of year-over-year sales increases. But then in January, these two dealerships, one in Florida and one in Illinois, filed a racketeering lawsuit accusing Fiat Chrysler's U.S. arm of essentially bribing dealers to report inflated numbers at the end of the month.
And now there's this federal investigation underway. What details do we have?
Well, the feds aren't talking about it yet, but Bloomberg reports earlier this month, 9 Fiat Chrysler dealership managers got home visits from the FBI. So, of course, it's just an investigation. We can't know if the allegations are true yet, and the lawsuit is ongoing. Fiat Chrysler says the lawsuit doesn't really make sense. It says it records its revenues based on shipments to dealers and not on those dealers' reported sales, so there wouldn't be an incentive to boost the sales numbers.
All right, but how could you fake a car sale? Doesn't the car actually have to leave the parking lot eventually to even appear to have been sold?
Right. So this raises a larger issue about how car sales are counted in the U.S. In some other parts of the world, they're not even counted as sold until a buyer registers the car. Here, dealers can report a sale even if they just did something like sold it to themselves, for example. And they can do that to bring up their monthly numbers. There's a lot of pressure on those month-to-month numbers. So some people say this whole way of accounting is kind of a setup for bad behavior from dealers or manufacturers.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching this thing. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do some numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.4%. After a day off for a holiday, the Tokyo Stock Exchange was up with the Nikkei up 1.4%. U.S. futures here, the Dow future down, let's see what it is, 21 points, about 0.1%. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are each down 0.3%. Now to the topic of increasing protection for police officers, Baton Rouge, Dallas, and beyond. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Police in Boston, Los Angeles, Chicago, and other cities are taking extra precaution as a result of violence against officers. The New York Police Department said its officers will patrol in pairs for the foreseeable future. Ronnie Lowenstein is director of New York City's Independent Budget Office. She says where they're expecting an increase in cost is in overtime.
We will see that, if it does, showing up in the numbers over the next few months.
But she also said it's too early to know if extra patrol officers will mean more overtime.
But if it does, you know, New York City will adjust its budget.
That's because cities determine their budgets annually, but reevaluate how they're spending their money every quarter. So if a city has to adjust its priorities, it can. But it also has to trim from other parts of the budget. Tracy Gordon is with the Urban Institute.
Just a question of trade-offs, that if you want to spend more in one area, you have to spend less in another area, and you're deciding between categories like schools versus police on the street.
And no matter how much cities spend on protecting their officers, the job will remain a dangerous one. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
It's summertime in Chicago, and the sightseeing is easy. There's lots to choose from. You got your architecture tour, deep dish pizza tour, multiple Chicago gangster tours. But as Derek John reports, there is one new walking tour that some local politicians wish would just go away.
Okay, folks, let's gather around.
On a recent afternoon in downtown Chicago, Paul Dayling stands before a dozen tourists wearing comfortable shoes.
Who wants to get started? Who wants to spend 3 hours getting depressed about governance?
Dayling is the creator and guide of the Chicago Corruption Walking Tour.
It is not in any capacity going to be comprehensive.
In fact, Dayling says he can barely keep up with current events. So he starts by pointing out a storefront. A century ago, this was a tavern and the political headquarters for Michael Hinky Dink Kenna and Bathhouse John Coughlin.
When you get nicknames like Hinky Dink and Bathhouse, you know you're not on the right side of the law.
The colorful First Ward aldermen were known to trade free beers for votes. And Dayling's tour is full of such larger-than-life characters. And I mean large.
Big Bill Thompson was the most corrupt official in the history of the state of Illinois. Big Jim Colosimo, who was the first mob boss to control all of Chicago.
And then there's the guy with the big hair.
Of course, we are talking about Rod Blagojevich. Does anybody know how many governors of Illinois got in trouble with the law?
That would be 7 if you're keeping score at home. It's tempting to romanticize this as the Chicago way, but Dehling says that ignores the real victims. For instance, we all know Al Capone, but what about Octavius Granati, who was gunned down on Election Day in 1928?
Granati did something that Al Capone could not stand. He ran for political office while being black. That's your Al Capone. That's your folk hero on your T-shirt.
Dehling says today's shenanigans are less obvious, but no less bad for democracy, like local politicians who still draw their own electoral maps.
So right now, from this one street corner, we can see 4 Illinois representative districts. It's called gerrymandering, and it's not against the law. It is the law.
By the end, tour members pledged to be more civically engaged. Still, Chuck Hildebrandt says he can't help thinking,
the corruption that we know about is only of the people that got caught.
In Chicago, I'm Derek John for Marketplace.
And we've been hearing the focus on national security from the podium in Cleveland. That was Monday. Today we'll be covering what's set to be a focus on economic security. Getting America working again is the branded theme on Marketplace's pop-up convention podcast, Politics Inside Out. Today you can hear from a voter who traveled all the way to Cleveland who says of Donald Trump, quote, everything he touches turns to gold. And the Republican who plans to vote for Trump while holding his nose. Go to marketplace.org, then after a slash, type 2 words, inside out, and there you have it, the podcast. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Christopher Olin, our engineer this week, Charlton Thorpe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.